Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Backlot. We are the Backlot Boys, and this is episode 6. I cannot believe we are 6 episodes into the podcast, and we just want to thank you guys so, so very much for the support. And with today's episode, we'll be taking a stroll through Disney World and having a Kingdom Cable about the updates surrounding the Tropical Hideaway opening in Adventureland and Disneyland Anaheim. So I'm quite excited about this podcast, but there's something to be even more excited about, boy Gunna. Do you know what that is?
I'm not sure. I'm just thinking of the 6 episodes and where did the time go? I mean, it really feels like we just started doing this. We got, we've got 5 under our belt. We've got the 6th one right here. But no, what are you going to say? You have some news for us.
The YouTube channel has 90 subscribers. Like, that's
what
amazing.
In the world? You know, I'm sure a lot of these are Scarscribers just scarring on over to see what kind of Scar stuff is going on, see if they can get some tips and tricks. That's great. I can't believe it. I'm having a hard time fathoming that 90 people are anticipating our content. So that's super. That's really cool.
Yeah. So guys, thank you so much for the support on the podcast. Really? We absolutely love doing this. We're going to continue to do this. So if you're not already, hit that subscribe button. And if you'd like us to answer a question during the podcast, leave us a question down in the comments. Just go hashtag Q&A, and we'd love to answer any questions you guys have about us or the parks or anything along those lines. And we just absolutely love doing this. So we're very thankful for you following along with us.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're stoked about it. This is episode number 6. Scar probably kind of talked about, you know, some of the stuff that's going to be in there, but this one will be a nice little mix. So I think everybody's going to like it. And sometimes we get a little bit, we get a little hung up on our favorite park out in California. We love all the other ones too. We don't really talk too much Disney World. So I'm looking forward to going over that place a little bit, putting them on the news, going over some new things that they have and maybe some things that have been there for a while, just pointing some stuff out.
It's been a long time since I've been to Disney World, but I've been trying to keep up a little bit more up to date lately, watching some videos from Disney World. So I think it'll be fun to kind of reminisce about that. But why don't we start heading off to the Kingdom Cable?
Yep, Kingdom Cable. Okay, what's new over there? What do you got? Something that is breaking news or relatively breaking, Scar? What's going on?
So in Adventureland, they are opening a Tropical Hideaway. So this is in replace of Aladdin's Oasis, and Aladdin's Oasis replaced the Tahitian Terrace back in the day. So this area has been dormant for years because the Aladdin's Oasis only lasted maybe 2 years at best in that location. Right. And it was a highly themed dinner show, you know, an expensive fare.
We saw it, right? So we must have fallen in that 2-year window. I remember going there and having some kind of blue frozen drink.
Yes. So that was one of my all time favorite trips to Disneyland. It was a surprise birthday trip for myself. And
that was the birthday trip. That was a ballin' one. That one was dope. That was a great, solid trip.
Yeah, so we usually went to Disneyland during the month of my birthday. So a lot of the trips ended up on my birthday. And we went to Aladdin's Oasis, and it was really cool. Like, they had the genie lamps, you know, on all the tables. If it was your birthday, they brought out a lamp that was made out of chocolate, and there was like mousse inside of it. And there was some raspberry thing on the bottom. Was not a huge fan of that, but the mousse, I liked it. It was the first time I ever had mousse. Wasn't sure if it was actually made of mousse. I was confused. I was a young fellow at the time.
Mousse is the stuff people, they put in their hairdo, isn't it?
It's That's like what I was thinking. Our dad always had that. He was, pop it in there.
Yeah. I made that sound. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Classic. Yep.
So Aladdin's Oasis, and then over time became different things. Maybe there was a little show there. At one point, there was an Indiana Jones stunt show during the debacle that was Crystal Skull. And then it just became dormant. Sometimes at crowded days, they'd bring people in there. They let them run a roam around. But what they're doing now is they're taking out all of the Aladdin's Oasis stuff.
But they did do character meet and greets. Jasmine and Aladdin often would be in that little archway. I actually have photographic evidence of that. So
remember when we tried to go and, you know, get a photo and they just put the rope right in front of us?
Oh, busted. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. Sealing us off.
So they've got all this stuff out of there now. And what it's going to become is 2 things. It's going to become a seating area just for kind of overflow, relaxing, things like that. It'll also become an exit for the Tiki Room. So instead of the current exit that kind of like dispenses right into the pathway of Adventureland, it's going to dispense into the Tropical Hideaway, and that'll kind of cut down on some of that mass crowd that emerges when the Tiki Room finishes and people head into that pathway. So that's a benefit. The second benefit's going to occur is that for wheelchair users, you will no longer have to go into the Tiki Elevator. The Tiki Elevator, what goes on in the Tiki Elevator stays in the Tiki Elevator. And
I don't think I've ever been in the Tiki Elevator.
Only the Chosen go into the Tiki Elevator.
Yeah. So it just goes down a few steps, right? I mean, it must... Because it's when you exit out of the Tiki Room, if I remember, there's only, what is it? It's like 4 or 5 steps that go down?
Yes. It's okay. Very short. One of the times that we went into it, this lady was like pushing an elderly fella. And she was just like yelling, like, move over. And it's like, you could barely fit one wheelchair in there and another person. Like, I don't think another person could fit at all. Like, you wheel up, your feet touch the end. And then when you close the door, it's like... there's maybe an inch difference between the door and you. Like, there's no room. Ooh. And she's like yelling, like, open it. Like, she thought we were like locking her out of the Tiki Room. And I'm like, it's okay. We go up and then you get on. And she kind of stared at you like maybe there was a language barrier. And it was like, I was afraid she was going to attack. And then the door closed and I was up and never saw her again.
She never made a move. She never reached out or, you know, flicked your ear or anything like that. She never.
It was a little bit scary, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So
yeah.
I'm glad that that's going to be gone. Now, the things that nobody knows quite for sure, you know, looking through rumors and stuff for it is, will they be moving the Bengal Barbecue and the Dole Whip stand to this location to cut down on the congestion that those two things cause within the Adventureland pathways?
Major bottleneck normally right over there.
Yeah, that's a huge one. And I think,
especially if Indy is closed and so not even open and having like a line sticking out, because they usually can manage the queue through the jungle pretty well. But if the ride's closed and then people are getting there, but then they're finding out they can't get on. And so they, you know, how people do those, they're like in these groups of, you know, anywhere from 4 to, you know, 20. But they find out that they can't go on it. And so instead of getting out of the way and like regrouping on the plan, they just kind of stand there, or maybe they back up a little bit right into that trail. So it can get, there is a bit of a cluster having nothing to do with Fantasmic. This could be midday. This could be in the morning and this happens.
Yeah. And it's sad. Like, one of my earliest memories of Disneyland was the Bengal Barbecue sign. So I hope that they incorporate that back into the Tropical Hideaway. And it kind of takes away a little bit of the charm of having these little stands, you know, spaced out through the land. But in the end, I think this will be a benefit, and it's going to consolidate a little bit of that traffic into an area. It's going to open up a region for just the average guest. It's not going to be something that's very expensive dinner show. It's not like the Court of Angels being closed off for Club 33. This is like a new area of the park, and that's exciting to me. In the concept art, there is an animatronic Tiki Bird. I really hope that's the case. Maybe he does a little singing. Maybe he'll interact with the Jungle Boat. Looking at the concept art, there is a boy like pointing from the Jungle Boat up at the Tiki Bird. So maybe the Tiki Bird will turn and address the boats as it goes by. This is my dream in my head.
Yeah, I was wondering where you're getting the information from this, because I, you know, from the limited amount of poking around I do throughout the intranets, I didn't come across that. So that's your thing, I guess.
Yeah, I found a nice blown up image of the concept art. So there's a little tiki bird. He's on like a pouch. He's almost like a mail bag. You know, like the railroads, and the railroad would be going by and they'd hang a mail bag and then somebody on the...
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's like sitting on. It's like a bag, and then he has like a little box, and then there's like a walking
That's
stick
pretty cool.
And then an umbrella over him, you know, for the elements.
Well, protection.
So yeah, that's the Tropical Hideaway. That's as much as I know. I think it's going to be opening up maybe in the next 2 months, and I'm quite excited because it's not like an extra cost thing. It's just somewhere you can go and enjoy, and it's not like some of the more recent things that are cool, but they also cost money. This is just for the average guest, and that's awesome.
I like it. Okay. And so when are we going to see that?
I think maybe in the next like 1 to 2 months. The Tiki Room reopens in August, so maybe somewhere around then.
You know, that's got to be kind of tough, because I think, and I'm just like trying to basically say that everybody does the same thing as I do, but you know, when that park gets really hot, there's a few escapes. There's a couple of places you can go to get some AC going outside of, you know, waiting in line and going on Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that. But you know, you can go to some of these little things, and Tiki Room is always one of those. You could post up now, you know, because the ambiance is great, it's wonderful. You got the tiki gods and everything in there, and the waters, the little water plume. But it was cool in there. It was dark. It was a nice place to take a load off for a minute. So I'm sure that has been specifically missed this summer. You know, just to get out of the heat. Not to mention how wonderful the attraction is. So that'll be great when that comes back online.
The Tiki Room is a very underrated attraction.
It really is.
It's a good attraction. You know, you get to take your load off and you just enjoy the animatronics, a little bit of history.
There's a lot of Walt history with that one. You know, he was heavily involved in the process. The people always want to say it in a funny way. Processes. Have you ever heard people say that before?
No, but I heard somebody say conversation as conversate. And I was like,
what? Oh, conversate. Or they talk about an advertisement. Well, in that advertisement. Like, I don't know, it's a whole thing. But basically, Walt was really involved in the creation of the birds, at least the initial ones. And there's a lot of good clips you can find online of him introducing the birds to people. You know, he brought them on the World of Disney or whatever, you know, the TV show and all that kind of stuff, where he'd show them to people. And it was really neat. He was very involved, very enthusiastic, and you know, that was a personal thing for him. So it's cool to see the Tiki Room. And while some of those animatronics have probably changed and you know, been refeathered and all that good stuff, there is definitely history in there for sure.
Tiki Room was actually owned by Walt Disney. It was a separate ticket from the standard ticket book and or admission to Disneyland back in the day. It was part of the Ratlaw Corporation, which owned the monorail and the trains.
How do you like that? Interesting. I didn't. Yeah. Huh. You didn't share that in our little known facts, but maybe a lot of people know that.
There's so many facts. There's so many more podcasts. But I think that is good. I'm excited about the Tropical Hideaway. I found a more blown up picture, and I'm looking at this tiki bird, and it's making me get excited. And
maybe you can share one of these pictures. We'll have this on in the video or the thumbnail.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to try to edit it into the actual video on YouTube. So that is the Kingdom Cable for episode 6.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. All right. Well, that about wraps up the Kingdom Cable, and we're going to move on and spend a decent amount of time talking about the California park. And we spent a whole episode last time talking about the foreign parks. So without further ado, and making sure that we're, you know, making mention of everybody, all the important folks, distinguished, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about Disney World today. So we're going to talk about Toy Story Land. I may touch a little bit about some monorail business as well, you know, towards the end of that. But yeah, Scar, what do you think? Disney, Disney World has put in this Toy Story Land. They put it over in the Hollywood Studios area. What do you think that does to the former MGM Studios park section that has long been considered a half-day park? What do you think about
it? It finally gives somebody something to do there. I mean, if you're a smaller fella, a smaller child, if you will, and you go to MGM, there's not a lot for you to do outside of Midway Mania. I mean, there's the Tower of Terror, there's Rock and Roll Roller Coaster, and I just named all of the rides.
So you're going down the elevator, you're listening to some Aerosmith, but outside of that, maybe there's some snacks around and a clean bathroom, maybe.
We hope.
So outside of that, what you're saying, there wasn't really much else to do there, huh?
No, and it's been a very long time since we've been to Disney World, especially MGM. I've only been there once, and I was a very young fellow, 7-ish or so. So there are things outside of rides. There's the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular. There's Voyage of the Little Mermaid. I think there is another attraction with the chip, Mrs. Potts, Beauty and the Beast.
Oh yeah.
I think there's some shows like that in there, but I'm not a big show guy personally. I'm more of a ride person. When people are enjoying the shows, that's a good time to hit the rides for me. And I think with Toy Story Land, it now gives a more like family something to do within the area. The roller coaster is not super wild. You know, it's it's probably even more tame than the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train attraction. And they have this Swirling Swishers, Swashers. What's that?
Alien Saucers. The Alien Swirling Saucers, I think, is what they're calling that right now.
Dyslexia, sorry.
Which is basically just, isn't it essentially the same thing as Mater's Junkyard Jamboree from Cars Land?
Yeah, so it's just kind of a reskinned version of that ride system. Now, I mean, Disney has like made that ride system, and they're like, we're going to put this everywhere. I mean, we've got it in...
What are some other versions they could do with that, you know, from some other movies? Like, maybe there's like a funny Pete's Dragon one where he's trying to hang on by like a rope or whatever to the guy, or... I mean, I'm sure we could probably come up with some good ones, but yeah, if they're going to keep recycling that, I think we should... we should buckle in, because it sounds like it might be going on at all the parks here for a little bit.
All right, this is the amount of parks that I know of it's in. It's in California Adventure as Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. It opened in Toy Story Land in Shanghai as Bullseye's Galloping Wonderland or something. You know, he's running around doing a thing.
Okay.
It is going to be in the Magic... No, it's going to be in Tokyo Disneyland, and it's going to be themed towards Big Hero 6, and Baymax is going to be like pulling you along. There might be somewhere else, but I think that's it. And now, of course, it's in MGM. I call it MGM because the only time I've ever been there was when it was called that.
They went against the big PC approach to like essentially squashing the history of what pirates really were. So let's say they continue that. But then they decided, let's try something a little different. Maybe the new CEO comes in and they do something different. What if they did one in the Magic Kingdom at Disneyland or Disney World, where the thing in the front was, you know, back to basics, and it was the woman running away from the pirate, and then you're the pirate, you're in the back part. I mean, I can't imagine that they would allow something like this to happen, but as long as they're as long as they're replicating it all over the place, I'm just trying to think of some, you know, a little different approach for them, something fun.
You know, once they've placed it in every park, they really got to scrape the barrel, and maybe they'll bring it back.
Yeah, letter to the editor, but maybe next time we're at the park, we'll pop into town hall and see if we can leave a sticky note or something about that.
Ex Nintencio once said that pirates, they were not Boy Scouts.
No, and nobody better than I don't know if people have seen the photo. If you Google Ex Nintencio, I'm not going to say anything more, but if you Google him, there's a big picture of him and a lot of the other animators and Imagineers and different things. I know at Wet Enterprises they discuss this in a different way, but just look for the group photo and then look for X. He's crouched down. He's got a nice pair of glasses on and a sharp haircut. Just take a look at that photo, and then you'll know. I think that gives you a good picture about who X was. Wonderful, wonderful person.
I met X once. Super, super nice guy. And you'll see him in that picture. He has the smirk, and you'll know why. Yep. It's a funny picture.
He maintained his voices. The last thing, I don't want to get off on the whole thing about him, but he maintained the ability. Not only did he remember all of the lines that he used with all these different characters throughout all these different rides, but he maintained the ability to, you know, pretty properly emulate those voices that he did way, way back when. So he held it together in that regard. I mean, as long as I can tell by his appearances.
Ex Nintencio, for people who don't know, was an Imagineer, originally an animator. He passed away recently. He was the one who wrote the songs for the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean. So Yo Ho Ho, Pirate's Life for Me, and Grim Grinning Ghosts Come Out to Socialize type thing. So and then a whole bunch of other stuff, but he was really famous.
He didn't start out
that.
As a songwriter or a copywriter. He did other things, and he was tasked with doing that and just came up with the words. I think he worked with is it George Burns, one of these guys, worked with in terms of actually putting the score together in terms of like the notes and everything. But as far as the words and the melody and the pacing of the songs, like he just either taught himself or just this just came from within. I don't know, but yeah, it's. He was quite the talent. Really, really. I'm jealous. You're lucky you got a chance to meet him. What a neat guy.
Yeah. So back to Toy Story Land. I like it. It looks nice. I've heard it's very warm.
There was a tone in that voice. Why don't we do this? Because there are a lot of great things. I can talk about some of those maybe. Why don't you say the things you don't like about it? Because I feel like I could sense that right away. I'm sure the listeners could too.
So Toy Story Land was announced maybe... I want to say 2015 at D23, same time that Star Wars Land was announced. I think it was 2015. I could have been wrong, 2016. They showed a piece of concept art that really intrigued me. The attraction was made to look like Andy had created this roller coaster. He had dug with like a big shovel these little trenches in his backyard. And there's these little tunnels and these little divots that the roller coaster goes through. And there's just scattered about toys throughout the entire image. There's a little Green Army segment. There's just lots of little things around. Unfortunately, like about a year later, a revised piece of concept art came out that removed these little like divots. So the attraction is more above grade than it was before, how it was all built into the ground. And, you know, maybe that's budgetary things. And I get that. You know, the Imagineers have come up with some crazy ideas. Sometimes they have to be reined in a little bit for budgetary and or technical reasons. But this didn't seem like the most like technical, you know, logical hurdle to go against is have these like these tracks kind of built into the ground. And they removed that. They removed Al's toy barn. They just scaled back a little bit on like the props that are all around the area. So I for some reason, seeing this attraction like carved into the earth reminds me of myself as a kid, like something that I would have done. And the current way the track is just a standard roller coaster above the ground. There's no little tunnels. There's no like banks built up on the sides like it was in the concept art. And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, I think the attraction is nice. I think the Slinky Dog sound effects are really ingenious. I love just Slinky Dog's voice. He's like, hang on. And I was like, this is pretty nice. And there's like a little bridge where you can see one of the catapult areas, and it's cool. The Imagineers put a lot of energy and time into it for the budgets that they got, and I think they did a good job. There's lots of little Easter eggs in there. I do think it's strange that they didn't do Al's Toy Barn, considering that's a revenue generator. It just seems strange to me because that's a shop.
Yeah. Did you see one of those Easter eggs? I don't want to spoil for anybody, but it's like a pricing sticker that's on the wall over there by the roller coaster.
Yes.
It's this little green square, and it's got like, you know, when Toy Story first came out and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool. It's pretty neat. I really like that.
Yeah, that is a good one. So there's tons of cool things. Woody's Lunchbox is the kind of restaurant. It's more of like a walk-up restaurant, but the sandwiches there look quite delightful.
Solid treats. So, you know, like the sugary things all look pretty good. All that stuff is great. You know, one thing that I did want to mention was, you know, the entrance to California Adventure, it's got that turquoise thing, and it's kind of the swoopy turns and angles and stuff. And I know that they do that over at Hollywood Studios too. But did you see the size of the DVC booth that they have over there, the Vacation Club booth?
No, I haven't.
They put so much work into those things. And I'm trying to think if I, and being such an amateur at Minecraft, this is not going to go well. This is not going to go over well. But when you think about the game and they have those little water oases out in the desert, they're completely useless. But they're kind of big, and it looks like there was, you know, like some design work that was put into that. And I guess if you really needed water out there, which I can't imagine, it's not really part of the deal, but maybe they should add that. Anyway, it's just the DVC booth is just huge. It's right when you're walking in. It's kind of where you see that first footprint. Like, I'm assuming that's Andy's shoe footprint on the ground, and the booth is right there. So pretty snazzy, pretty bulky, pretty big for, I got to imagine it's not going to be a huge number of people, patronizing that building, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I've always thought that was strange, that the amount of DVC locations in the parks, but
maybe there's more members than we think. You know, maybe we do an episode on that. I don't know much about it. Maybe we get somebody on the show, you know, that is a member. That'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, I don't understand the point systems and how that works, and how they've got like really super great like rooms in some of the hotels at Disney World, like kitchens and bedrooms. But then it turns
classic
out
timeshare model, I think.
Turns out like you can book those. It's just that the DVC members get first rights to it. So
I didn't even know that part.
Yeah, so there's a whole thing to it. I'd actually like to know about that more. So Slinky Dogs, it looks fun. It looks like a nice ride. It's great for the kids.
It's pretty long though too, isn't it? It's twice the length of Gadget's Go Coaster. That Gadget Go Coaster is, if you include the hill, it's like a minute long. But this one I think is about 2 minutes, so it's twice the length, you know.
Yeah, it looks like a nice roller coaster. I would probably say it's not quite as good as Seven Dwarfs, because Seven Dwarfs is just so well themed in the mountain with the dwarf animatronics. That facial projection systems are really, really cool. But it's good. So the other attraction is an interesting one, because it wasn't technically built with Toy Story Land, but it was moved entrance-wise. So they moved the entrance of Toy Story Midway Mania from what was once like a fake Pixar studio design with the brick and the iron and stuff, and they flipped it on the back and they opened up the entrance into Toy Story Land. So when you go into Toy Story Land, it is nice that there's three attractions. There's a roller coaster, there's a, you know, a more of a dark ride for the entire family, and then the swirling saucers over there. So it is cool that they did move Midway Mania to the back, and then they kind of added, you know, a whole new facade to it and stuff.
I think the retheming of that looked cool. You know, I mean, it did kind of look like, or it reminded me of like the circus animal crackers. It reminded me of the boxes in terms of the theming, which I know that that's what they're doing, you know, kind of like packaging or whatever. But didn't they have, isn't that, I always forget the name. But that they had that penguin guy at the end. He kind of looks like he might be functioning the same way, a little bit like a Mr. Potato Head would, where he's got like the speak and spell. He's talking into a microphone. Is his name Squeaky? I never know what that guy's name is, but
Wheezy.
Right. So is he? He's in there. He's in there at the end of the ride, I think.
A little surprise at the end. Same. It's almost the same as Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, where they have the surprise at that. Wheezy is at the end and he's doing some singing and stuff. So it's kind of, to me, like a bit of a, it's one of my issues with all the Toy Story lands is everything is very static. The characters are static, but then when you see Wheezy like moving around, he's singing.
Yeah, his stomach looked like it was like, you know, kind of bending. Like if you pushed on it, it would make like a squeaking, you know, I just thought, I thought that they did a fine job with that guy.
Yeah. I really like that. And it's just like, I you know, they don't have to like fully animate the other like characters in the area, but maybe like an eye, maybe like move his head around, just like give a little bit of animation to it would be fantastic. So Wheezy's great. They did a good job on that. Set one of my second favorite characters, Mr. Prickly Pants, is one of my favorite also.
Good one.
So I was trying to think of what else is in Toy Story Land. The land looks beautiful at night. I don't know if you've seen some pictures.
What are your thoughts on the Baby Bell sponsorship? Do you think that was, do you think that matches well and kind of just sort of blends in with the theming of the rest? I feel like it did, but I wasn't sure what your thought on that was.
Oh, I'm always okay with sponsorships within the park, because like that's how Disneyland was built, on sponsorships. They would never have been able to build the park without them.
A lot of the attractions that we've lost, it's because sponsorships were pulled. I don't want to get into a whole Horizons thing, but you know, that's one of them.
It's very true. And when it comes to the Baby Bell thing, I'm okay with that. I think they did a really good job incorporating the sponsor into the location, because you like sit on Baby Bell cheese. I thought that was kind of
cool. The cheese
is
actually really good. If anybody's had these, specifically the one in the red package, which looks like that's kind of what they've mainly used. I was also thinking, I thought this would be kind of funny. If any of you guys are going online as you're listening to this and maybe looking at some pictures or some videos, there, if you look at that alien, whatever it was, spinning saucers, slimy saucers, what the saucer thing. If you're looking at that, the alien is sitting in a red saucer. And I think it would have been funny if maybe the red saucer, and this would have been too much, but I'm just thinking in my mind, I would have got a good laugh if that red saucer or said Baby Bell, or maybe part of the packaging was ripped and you could see some of the, you know, the white cheese under there. I thought that would be kind of funny. It's not, obviously that doesn't exist, but you can imagine it.
Yeah, I like that. The alien swirling saucers is going to get a Christmas theme too when Christmas time comes around. It's going to get,
that's cool.
You know, and they're, you know, their current like kind of like dance music, you know, like We Will Survive.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
It'll be more Christmas oriented when it comes to Christmas. So that's kind of cool that they'll update it. Also, the planet in the center is pizza, like, you know, Pizza Planet. It's actually a piece of pizza. It's kind of cool too.
I think that's cool. I mean, I know that you had mentioned some of the theming around. You felt like some of that was, you know, people cutting corners or saving some money, which I'm not disagreeing. But I think some of the implementation of like, I mean, the Tinker Toys, that's pretty much standard issue. We've kind of got used to seeing those. I did think it was neat, some of the blocks that they have out there, because it just so happens that those colored blocks that they have, there's like a green, a blue, a red, yellow. Those are, Dane has that exact same set. So it was funny to see that. And the Kinects. They use Kinects as barriers or something. I think, like, I don't know if it's limited to just around. You could tell us, maybe, is it limited to just around the roller coaster, or does that extend further around the park as other barriers? I thought the Kinects thing was really cool.
I did too. I like that a lot as someone who really loved Kinects. Like, we used to make
you
little
Kinects guy. Remember how they'd hurt your fingers after?
Oh, just awful. They really get you. Just don't leave them in your pool, fellas. Like, don't leave them in the pool.
Bleach,
they snap. Yep. It's a whole problem.
What do you think about? Did you see the popsicle benches? There's benches that made out of popsicle sticks, or, you know, they look like popsicle sticks. And I thought my favorite part about it was they, you know, left like a third of it or two thirds of it or whatever the color that the popsicle once was. So you saw that he must have had a great popsicle, because there's like a hue of purple, but still on this like, you know, kind of like natural wood looking popsicle stick. I thought that was funny. You know, I think these are some things that might bother other people. Maybe they bothered you, Scar, but I thought they were kind of neat. I just got a good laugh. I think Toy Story Land is like, it's kind of a little comedy space over there. And I certainly don't take it as serious as I would with a Star Wars land, or if they did something to the beloved, you know, Bear Country or something like that. But, you know, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's good. Like I said, I was a little bit disappointed they took out some of those cool elements with the ditches for the roller coaster and the Al's Toy Barn. And there was also going to be a Woody's Roundup section.
Woody's Roundup.
Some of that stuff ended up actually being built in Shanghai and wasn't built here in the United States. But on the other hand, I think that this is the best version of Toy Story Land. This one, yeah. I think, especially when the plants start growing around the roller coaster, I think that's going to be even greater because it's bamboo, if I'm not mistaken, and that's going to grow really good.
In the middle part down by where the track starts getting low. And yeah, you can see it all kind of, yeah, I think you're right. I think that vegetation will definitely help.
Yeah. And like I said, I would encourage you guys to look at the before and after the concept art just to see what I mean. And, you know, I would like to hear your opinion on that. And one of the things that's directly next to Toy Story Land is Galaxy's Edge. So that is, of course, the Star Wars land that will be opening next year. And you can see, you know, some of the things from the roller coaster. And apparently a cast members have been joking about and saying that's Sid's backyard. I thought that was good. I thought it was good.
Oh, man, that's a good idea. It'd be funny. You know, I feel like if they're going to do that, if they're going to play that game and, you know, make little allusions to that, don't you think? I feel like they should just put some junk over there, you know, maybe put the barbecue, put that Weber grill over there and put the toys, put Buzz strapped to a rocket, like not like a character sized Buzz, but like, you know, maybe something kind of like middle of the road, since it's kind of forced perspective, they can put it away, or the dog, or just they could have fun with that. But, you know, it's up to them.
Yeah.
Balls in that court.
So MGM has their first phase has opened, I guess, kind of in their multi-year refurbishment of the park. So eventually within the next year, we should be getting another attraction, not Galaxy's Edge, but Mickey's Runaway Railroad, I think, or isn't that what it's called? I think so.
Mickey and Minnie, was it Mickey? It includes Minnie. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway.
You know, Runaway some of these Railway. Names are a little bit difficult.
It's a lot of, yeah, it really kind of jumbles together for, you know, makes it tough.
So
but that's kind of interesting. When was the last time that they did like a, you know, like the, I don't know what they call them, like the Fab Five, like something based on those characters for like an out attraction? Probably not something since like Toontown, right? With the houses?
I would probably say that's probably true once you think about it. I'm very excited about this attraction. I just really feel like this is like 100% like Disney, this attraction. For what's
no IP
leaked,
involved. I mean,
what's
it is
leaked
IP,
out
but
for the information, you know, there's a lot of rumors, there's a lot of speculation because Disney's been pretty tight-lipped, at least as far as I can ever tell looking around on the interwebs. And you'll be like on a train car, right? So there's going to be like three or four cars. In front of you is going to be like the engine of the train. So if you're in a car and then there's some people in front of you and another car in front of that, it's attached to an actual like steam engine, like not actual steam engine, but it's like, you know, themed to be a train. And then inside that is Goofy. Now, their most recent concept art that they did release, it showed Goofy more potentially as a screen rather than an actual like physical animatronic, which is fine, you know. As long as like it has that like detail of like you literally being pulled in a train by Goofy. And with this, the technology for the attraction is a trackless ride, which is going to be the second time. Really, I'm going to say this is actually the first time the United States Parks has ever gotten a trackless attraction, because the only other trackless ride is Luigi's at, you know, California Adventure. And I'm not going to really count that too much. Because I'm going to work.
Is that still there? Is that ride still there? They're still doing the flying tires?
No, flying tires have been replaced with Luigi's like dancing car ride.
Oh,
and the cars.
I haven't been over there in a while.
And the cars are trackless and they do their dancing. And, you know, it's fine. It's honorable. But the trackless technology that I'm thinking about is like Ratatouille, you know, Pooh's Honey Hunt, Mystic Manor.
Evolved.
All of these attractions. So this will be the first time that we get one of these rides. And I think it's just going to blow people's minds. There's supposed to be this 2.5D where you don't wear 3D glasses, but you still see 3D. I think it's going to be a really great ride. It's kind of sad
immersive
that they're
without the glasses. I like that. I like that concept.
Yeah, and it's sad that we lost a great movie ride. I always kind of hoped that they would update the attraction, but if anything's going to replace it, I'm happy this is replacing it, because I think this is a good replacement of that attraction.
I like the sound of that, and I like I said, I mean, I didn't using the words saying that it's not IP. Obviously, it is their intellectual property, but it's not borrowed. It wasn't acquired through any kind of like funny acquisition or something. It's not based on somebody else's story. It's based on Walt's characters. And mm-hmm. If it be, yeah, if, like you said, if Goofy is in the flesh or in the animatronic, in the latex and wires and all that kind of stuff, whether he's like that or he's this projection or screen or something like that, sounds like it'd be great either way. Anytime you involve Goofy, I mean, you can't really go wrong with it. I mean, you can go very wrong with it, but in a funny way. So,
yeah, for sure.
See that going well.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. Like I said, it just screams Disney to me. Like, that's like Disney, you know, not that Star Wars isn't or anything like that, and I'm very excited about that stuff, but this is like classic Disney, and I think we've kind of missed that for the last few years with a lot of new stuff, which is all great. It's all important, yeah, honorable mentions all around, but this is something we haven't really seen for a while, and I think it'll be cool. There's supposed to be a musical number played. So I don't know what that is. They said it's to the likes of Pirates of the Caribbean or Haunted Mansion, so we'll see.
That's saying a lot. That's a tall order.
Rafferty said that at D23. Kevin Rafferty. He seems like a good Imagineer, good fellow, important fellow.
Rafferty is he's got some credibility. He's got some mm-hmm. credit built up. Well, that remains to be seen. I'm excited about it though.
Yeah, so that's exciting, and then that'll open next year, and then that moves over to Star Wars Land. And that, of course, is something we're definitely going to talk a lot more about in the coming year as Star Wars Land approaches. But that's going to encompass two new attractions, countless stores. And of course, as far as we know from, you know, things that they've said, is there's going to be two restaurants. One's going to be a cantina. The other is going to be more of like a dinner show sit down thing. So something like Be Our Guest or Bayou, you know, that like fancy style, real themed food show.
And you're not talking about, I didn't hear you mention anything about the motel. Are they still going to do that, or is that not going to go there?
No, I think it's going to open maybe a year or two after Star Wars Land opens.
Okay, need a little time.
I don't believe they've even started actual construction. So that still might be a few years out, more than I even said.
Picture that kind of being like the All-Star Resort, you know, where they have the bowling pins and stuff outside, or the big baseball bat on the side of the building. You think it's going to be something like that, or are they going to get a little involved?
It's like the opposite of that.
I kid, of course. The pictures I've seen, the artwork alone, I mean, it's enough to, you know, you put that on the wall in your house. I'm not even going to say it looks outstanding. But as we know with concept art, you got to be real careful. Be careful with your hopes, your dreams, and your goals for it, because sometimes, a lot of the time, most of the time, it doesn't come out that way, but sometimes it does. So, you know, I guess we don't know yet.
One thing I could say is Cars Land was an attraction that, from the concept art to the execution of it, was pretty spot on.
Cars Land is pretty, pretty good.
I suspect that Star Wars Land will be the same way.
Yeah, I hope so. On all the Star Wars lands, all the lands of Star Wars that they're going to be putting in, I really hope that I hope they don't let down. The only thing that I could say to that is, after seeing the display that they had set up at D23 for us all to get a little sneak peek, when I walked past that thing, it looked like I thought that was Star Wars Land, and they were just going to do that in the convention center, and that's the way it was going to be. It was superb. It was very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be something that I don't think we've ever seen before. This is Disney trying to, you know, make their own snap at Harry Potter, and I think that's good for everybody. A little competition back and forth. I think that's good. And I don't want to like go too much into Star Wars Land because that's a whole thing. Because we don't even really know all the details. It's, you know, half done. And we really want to talk about, especially in the future podcast, where Disneyland goes after Star Wars is complete. I think that'll be an interesting discussion. So other things that are happening at Disney World, they're getting their gondola system. So think about it as the Skyway on steroids. That'll take you from
buckets.
Some of the moderate resorts, and that'll take you, you know, from Epcot to MGM, Hollywood Studios. and you know, some of those places. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully that connects Animal Kingdom, and poor Animal Kingdom's over there just hanging out.
What's an example of a moderate hotel, just, you know, for the listeners and stuff, just so we kind of know?
It's a good question. I think like those like Saratoga, those kind of places, I think. Maybe okay. like the Boardwalk, okay. or is that a deluxe? I don't really
or
know.
The dolphin or the seal or the otter or whatever that was called.
Maybe somebody could help us on that, because
yeah,
we don't...
chime in. Let us know what you think would be, you know, like maybe start, you know, give us a little scale. Put the Grand Floridian or something up at the top, and then maybe work your way down from there, and just kind of let us know what the tiers are. What is the shelf system? Is this top shelf? Is this kind of the bottom of the barrel, the brunettes of the hotels, and all the way through? Because I'd be interested to hear that, especially as we start planning on taking a trip out there here eventually. It'd be nice to get some hotel advice. It's been quite a while since we've been there, of course.
Yeah, because like you would have the Grand Floridian, Polynesian, I would suppose, at the top, and then at the lower, at the bottom, like the more like affordable hotels would then be the kind of sports and movie type deal down at the bottom there.
Which aren't bad. I think there's some bunk beds and some, you know, comfortable sheets or whatever in there. So, I don't see anything wrong with that.
So I think there's a big spectrum between these two hotels. There's a lot of hotels in the middle that I don't know if they're like moderate, deluxe, super great. You know, it's confusing at Disney World because they have just a crazy amount of hotels where, you know, at our home park, we have three hotels. We have Paradise Pier, we have Disneyland Hotel, and the Grand Californian. Paradise Pier, the cheaper of the options, the Grand Californian, the more expensive of the options. So it's easy. There's three hotels, three different price ranges, and that's it. Whereas Disney World has like 20 hotels. Let's turn our attention to the first non-Magic Kingdom park ever built, and that's Epcot, of course, and they're getting some new enhancements over there. What did you think of Epcot when we went to it when we were kids?
Well, I liked it a lot. You know, I didn't mean to say it that way necessarily. I liked it. Certainly liked it. There was a cool show with some acrobatic aliens. They were dressed up in some sparkly suits. I remember thinking that was kind of neat. I know you recall. You know, I like the little troll longboats and stuff that paddled around over there in the Norway section of, you know, of the wonders around the water. Mm-hmm. And back then, there were some things at Innoventions that were actually pretty cool, and things that we hadn't seen yet or didn't have access to in our own living rooms. And, you know, we played around a lot outside. We weren't really big gamers as, you know, growing up. We had a Nintendo and that kind of thing and a little Game Boy and stuff, but we weren't like this big, like, gaming household. We were a lot more active, you know, and just didn't really get behind that. So opportunity to play a lot of games that we hadn't played before, see some pretty neat stuff. You weren't emailing yet on those, I don't think. But you're doing some other stuff. Maybe you could send an email. But I remember thinking Interventions was cool. Body Wars, I think I want to do a different episode about that, because there's a lot to say. I don't want to get into it right now. But that's really about it. I don't remember a ton about Epcot. And I think if there's anything that is also clouding my vision on this, is I have seen and listened to a lot of things about Epcot lately, over the last year and a half or so, about what Epcot was supposed to be. And after watching those, and then I think about what's there right now, I could not be more let down, disappointed, sad, downtrodden. I can't even tell you, like, if it had even come out a fraction of what Walt was anticipating and what he was hoping for that, I mean, we would have seen something. And now there would have been a lot of hurdles. People living there, people voting, all this kind of stuff. Oh, I can't even imagine. But it was just the act of working through that stuff. And of course, some of those things would be eliminated. But I think we would have got something vastly different than what we have now. So I didn't mean to go into that whole thing, but there you have it. I guess that's my opinion on Epcot. Very confusing place. I think they struggle with an identity a lot of the time, and I didn't mean to be that negative, but I'm just telling the truth. There's my opinion. There's my thoughts. That's where my head's at.
Yeah, I think that's the thing where Epcot started to be very kind of educational. They didn't have a lot of rides. You know, they're really, man, as far as I know, when that first opened, I do not think there was any Disney characters in there. And then over time, they tried to infuse that into the park, and I think there's like a really like fine line in how to incorporate Disney characters into this park, because this park always had a different message, a different kind of driving philosophy than, say, a Magic Kingdom park. And I thought they both had like a good contrast between the two. And, you know, one's very fantasy. You've got a lot of characters running around doing the things, whereas this one's more like, this is the future. These are kind of like educational things about the future, which can be fun. I think, I think what they could do is create things like Mission Space. You know, they have a little bit of a thrill nature to it, but it's still kind of educational. You know, Mission Space, you know, had some issues in the past, maybe even Test Track. I think those are all like good additions to it. And I know some people probably would disagree with this, but I don't mind if they do infuse Pixar and or Disney characters into the World Showcase as long as they don't become the main focus of that pavilion.
That's quite the allowance you're giving over there. That was not what I was expecting to hear from you.
If they were to incorporate Coco into the Mexico pavilion, and they do it in a way that Coco's not, it's not like you're going to Coco Land, but you're going to Mexico, and along with that, you can discover Coco along the way. Isn't that a neat movie?
Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I love Coco. It was a very good movie. Really good.
I watched that with Dane a month ago or a few weeks ago. And I kind of came in there. I haven't seen it from the very beginning, but I loved it. I thought it was really, really neat. Great story. The animation is just obviously is out of control. The music is good. It's just that's a killer movie. I liked it a lot. No pun intended. That's a great movie.
Yeah, that's definitely one of my it's got to be in the top five favorite Pixar movies, real right up at the top. So that's how I see it. I think maybe Frozen might have been not the greatest choice for that location. But I think Coco could fit really well. I think even Ratatouille is going to fit really well, as long as you're going to that country and within that country, you discover Ratatouille. It's not, I'm going to go to Ratatouille Land. And that's when you fail. And that's when the whole like World Showcase collapses, because then it's just, let's go to Ratatouille Land. Let's go to Monsters, Inc. Land in Morocco. Like, why is Monsters, Inc. in Morocco? Oh, it's just some allocated land. You know, that's when things get wild and they start throwing stuff in there.
See, that wouldn't make sense. But a lot of the stuff that you said, I mean, it really matches up pretty well. Maybe with the Ratatouille thing, they only have, you know, they have a restaurant over there and they just have the person roaming around with the mouse. You know, he's under that little dish. She comes around the tables, takes the lid off. Hey, I think here's your cheeseburger or whatever. And oh, surprise, there's a rat in here and he wants to have a chat with you about something. So maybe they just keep it subtle like that, some small, you know, inclusions, and maybe that's the right way to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, even if the attractions weren't Disney IP based, even if there were something unique to the area, like anything to infuse attractions into that area is a good thing. And I mean, even for the United Kingdom Pavilion, Mary Poppins, how is Mary Poppins not represented any one way of any attractions but a walk around character at Disneyland? I mean, it's a travesty.
Yeah, that is tragic. I agree with you. Okay.
So I think they can do that very tastefully and classy, and that should be like a motto on the door, keep it classy. And like,
I think they have a different motto on the door, is don't let it hit you on the way out. I don't know that they're dialing on the classy right now, but maybe they'll get there. They'll, you know.
I see. My thing would be to stay away from trends. I've always said this before, that Disney should always shy away from trends. They're a long-term thing, not a short-term trend chaser. And
who's a trend chaser? And again, this isn't necessarily a negative thing, because trends can be fun. Would you say Universal's trendy?
Yes, I would say Universal chases the trends of Incredibles. I mean, Transformers. And
they better not. Holy moly! Could you imagine? They just
things like that. But Universal does a good job. That's Universal. That's their thing. Disney should not be Universal. Yeah. You know, that's how I see it. As for the other portion of the park, of course, the future area. The future stuff, you got the big dome or the big ball hanging out. That area, I don't know. That area is confusing to me, because in some ways I almost feel like that area shouldn't have IP in it. And it should be like Tomorrowland and things about the future, unique things. But I have a weird way of looking at Epcot. I know a lot of people have a lot of like way more passion towards it than I do. So yeah, I've been there, you know, handful of times. So there's people who've gone there their entire life, like every year, they're real passionate about how everything should work. And I'm not exactly in that same boat, but I see the World Showcase as a way of incorporating things tastefully into those locations and not being over the top like this is, I don't know, like Brave Land now. So,
you know, I think you would have you watched all these videos I'm talking about? You already know all this stuff, I feel like, but have you watched any of the stuff about, you know, Walt introducing Epcot, what he thought it should be? Some of these things are like an hour plus long and all this kind of thing. Have you watched all that stuff?
I've watched quite a few of that. And I've read thousands of books on this stuff.
So I think then that is enough. That's why I'm surprised you're not more fired up about how lacking it is right now. And maybe you are, and it's just like a lot. Not I don't mean a lost cause, but if they're going to start working on it, then it's kind of it's more at this point of like, let's just see what they do. Can't really criticize anything further. I think people have done that enough. Let's kind of see what they do to pick it back up. But I'm just surprised you're not more like I am. Like, I'm just like, I just, oh man, it fell so short. Fell so short.
Yeah. Well, I see it as always not ever being what Walt wanted it to be. I don't think of it as anything that Walt didn't want any one thing that Epcot became. Like, he wanted city. It became a theme park. So I kind of disassociate Walt from it other than just the name of it.
That's really, you know what? That's a good point. I was trying to figure out where if Walt's tentacles had reached anywhere within that place, or you could, you know, sign his name on anything in there. And really, they're really.
No, you assigned that to John Hench, Herbert Ryman, and the good, the one, the only Marty Sklar.
Yeah, Sklar, didn't he move there? Didn't he live there for a while? He was living there while they were working on it.
Probably lived in the big ball.
Yeah, he was living, he was sleeping there, like a cot, because I know that Baxter moved to, he moved to Paris when they were building that. He lived there for a long time, moved the family, and like they spent a lot of time. So I know that these Imagineers, when they go on these projects, like they uproot, man, they get down to business.
Dedicated. They don't mess around. I didn't get to meet Marty Sklar because he fell asleep and I was sitting next to him.
Yeah, he fell asleep and I'm like, yeah, glasses are so thick.
I want to meet him, but I'm also not going to wake him up. So the entire Disney shareholders meeting, he was asleep. And
was he asleep, like chin on his chest, like he's just out? Oh man.
And I was disappointed the entire time. And then he got up and I'm in a wheelchair, and the way the seating was, it was on an angle and my brakes didn't work. So the stewardess had gotten a bunch of Disney annual reports, twisted them up and put them under the wheels. So it's not like I could go and chase him or anything.
She put the blocks down.
She did.
So
that's Epcot. Well, I like that discussion on Epcot. That was good. I enjoyed that. We want to hear from you guys. Like, please, like, let us know. Even if you don't watch the podcast on YouTube, like, a good place to reach us is the comments in YouTube or on our social media accounts, Twitter and Instagram. So
yeah, feel free to hit us up there, because you know, I know that there's a lot that you all, you know, especially if you came to us by being a Disney enthusiast, and somehow this came up as a recommended, or you know, however you got here, or happy either way. Leave us some notes. Let us know. Educate us. You know, like I feel like you know, we're talking a lot, but there's a lot of opinions floating around in here. You know, we're having fun with it. So if you have facts, or if you have your own opinions, or if you just want to, you know, give us a bad time, like, do it. You know, please. Like, we just want to hear from you guys, and that'll allow us to kind of dial in our content and all that stuff.
The last thing I'll say about Epcot is
Last word.
I'm not a huge fan of adding any Marvel to parks. I'm just not a huge fan of Marvel. And I mentioned this before, that Marvel is like a present thing, whereas like Disney parks are either the past or the future or fantasy. It's more of like in our own time space. So I don't know how well that'll age into the future. It might age perfectly fine, but I have my doubts a little bit. The only property that I think somewhat fits within the parks is Guardians, based on that it's futuristic sci-fi from another world. So of all the Marvel things that they could have added, Guardians is the best of the options, but it's also like the worst of the option. You know, it's the worst,
best of the worst. But you know, it is funny. Guardians is funny. I never really paid a lot of attention
to Guardians.
It.
It's great.
Especially after it snatched away the, you know, my you know, Hollywood Tower down in California, in Anaheim. You know, I was very bitter there for a bit. But then I, you know, I said, hey, you know what, I'll check it out. Tony Baxter said, hey, check it out, you know. And so I haven't been on the ride, but I've given it a chance by going to the movie and doing all this kind of stuff. And I think I like it. I think I can get behind it. Groot, that's all he says in the whole movie. And it's Vin Diesel. I didn't know it was Vin Diesel until like a month after I saw it.
Really?
And I was like, wow, you put Vin Diesel in here? Like, hey, I'll go see it. So I thought that was interesting. So Guardians of the Galaxy, you think that's the only thing that could really hold up over there Marvel-wise, though?
Yeah, I don't see anything
continuity
else.
Continuity-wise?
I just see it as being somewhat out in the future. I think it's like the best worst option. I really don't.
Sure.
I would rather see Marvel in a separate park. Ideally, the best thing possible would be a park that had Star Wars, Marvel, and I don't know, throw more Avatar in it, like something like that, like a separate park for those things. But
okay,
that's not the world we live in. So I see it as being at the moment that it's not an ideal choice, but it's like the best of the worst. The mm-hmm. attraction is going to be quite interesting in terms of how the roller coaster will work. So that's interesting. But yeah, I don't know. It's kind of disappointing. I get where a lot of people are disappointed to see that in Epcot because it doesn't really fit the story other than that, like, Peter, whatever his name was, visited Epcot when he was a kid. So it's kind of silly business.
That's all. That's as close as it. That's yeah. That's a pretty loose tie-in. That's hanging on by a little thread.
Yeah,
you
that's.
Know, and I think I'll just. I think we should repeat one thing you said just one more time because I hadn't thought of this until you brought it up. But Disneyland really is. It's either past, it's future, or it's this other like fantasy, other type realm. There really isn't any present. And you don't want the present. You got that right outside of the gate. You know, you want to relive some stuff from the past, or you want to, you know, get inspired by some things that could come in the future. And like, why? Yeah, you don't want something that's going on right in your backyard. Go home and do that. So I never thought about that until you bring this up. And I'm glad you did, because that's a very good point.
The only Marvel attraction that I wanted for not MGM, but California Adventure's backlot area, because it was themed to like the 1920s, 1930s-ish time frame, was mm-hmm. the old version of Captain America at the start of the movie, or the start of the movie when he was in the World War II kind of time frame. Like, he kind of could have fit in there a little bit because that was kind of in the past. But if you're to bring in Spider-Man, you're going to bring in these people, you're bringing in like modern day New York. And I don't know. I don't envision that for a Disney park. I see that as a Universal property. I see like, oh, that's cool. We'll see that at Universal. But yeah. That's the last I'll say on that. Do you want to head over to the Magic of Kingdoms?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Please.
So the only thing there that I know that they're making, at least from the announcements, was the Tron attraction. So they're bringing Tron from Shanghai to be positioned right next to Space Mountain. Just like the best thing of all.
This is the light cycle thing. This is exactly like what's going on in Shanghai.
As far as I know, yeah.
Okay. I would love to go on that. That thing looks awesome. I've only seen a couple of videos, and but enough is enough. I mean, they look super cool.
I couldn't imagine like getting on there and having yourself like lean forward. I don't know if it's something that I would be able to go on at all, but it looks
strap you to it, you know.
Good
enough
some
straps,
duct tape.
Tie downs, anchor straps. Yeah, well, we can get you in there.
It looks
climbing equipment,
incredible.
Harnesses.
What's nice about it is that it's not replacing another existing ride. You know, it's like a brand new like thing, and it's going to add so much to the Magic Kingdom. Disney World's crowded, you know? You look at the wait times and that they're quite a bit higher than at Disneyland, and
I
think this
will help. That surprised me recently, you know, because I always think of California as being straight packed, you mm-hmm. know, and I've been, you know, I was in Florida last year over Thanksgiving, and I was like, I didn't go to Disney World, and that was part of the thing. Flew into Orlando, ended up driving down to Miami because like, I thought for 2 seconds, I was like, maybe we'll go to some Disney parks. Bad idea. So never on Thanksgiving, never again. But I was looking at the Snow White, the mind training ride that they do in there, some kind of mind train deal. That ride was like, this was just like on a regular day. It's a Tuesday. It's in the school, hadn't even been let out yet. And the ride is 75 minutes long. Are you kidding me? So I just figured because it was more spread out that it was less crowded. And, you know, it's Disney World, you know, it's this huge campus. People could be doing anything they want over there, having onion rings at the hotel or whatever. But it turns out that there are a lot of people that go there. Okay. So yeah, it is a very crowded park. And I'm just wondering, what is the footprint for the Tron light cycle? How are they going to fit that in there? Where is this going?
It's going, so it'll be next to Space Mountain. Space Mountain's like outside of the railroad track. And it's just literally going right next to it towards Fantasyland direction. And
dueling pianos, you know, two roller coasters right next to each other.
Yeah, and the question I've had since the announcement was, do you see a day when they take Space Mountain out? It's an interesting question, but
that is a tough question.
Space Mountain is starting in some ways to show a little bit of its age. It was built in the 70s where you're going to have a really shiny thing next door, but I wouldn't want to see Space Mountain leave. Space Mountain, especially Disney World, is very unique as it's a lot like the Matterhorn as you sit, you know, stacked instead of side by side. And it's a unique attraction. I wouldn't want to see it leave, but you know, I'm always open to like updates for it, but
yeah, maybe in its present tense to make some changes to it. But you know, like it's a mountain, you know, it's a monument. It's like a structure. It's one of these things you see from out, you know, a little ways away, and like start getting even more antsy when you see these things. You'd hate to see that go away, but at the same time, Disneyland, Disney World, whatever, you know, they're never done. So can't just leave the same old thing sitting around forever, I guess.
I would say that for me, if they were to update the attraction, I would suspect that they would venture going to have to replace all the track within, like they did at Disneyland. And if they did that, they could then beef up the track like at Disneyland and add onboard audio and stuff like that. Whereas at Disney World, the audio is actually next to the track. Like there's just like a speaker and you go the speaker and you hear it really loud and then you hear it drift away. And it's not the same experience that you would get at Disneyland with an actual onboard audio.
So this is the original Space Mountain for what year did it open over there?
It
70 something, 76,
yeah, somewhere around then 76. For sure.
That's bonkers. I had no idea that it hadn't even been replaced a touch, so it basically looks the same way it did when we were there in 96, even same thing. Nothing
I mean,
different.
They added the audio, that's what was added. They may have changed little, I think they added some stuff to the queue for a short amount of time that's been replaced now with that like game app, but yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's got a great queue. I think it still looks good. I was watching a video of it.
Yeah, they had all those balls down on the ground.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was cool too. I just, I hadn't realized that it was still like toboggan style. You know, I didn't know that they hadn't updated the ride vehicles or any of that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think a nice big Disneyland style update for that would be quite beneficial. So that's Disney World, or that's the Magic Kingdom, of course. So I don't think there may be some other things that's escaping me that's being added. You guys could definitely let us know in the comments.
Yeah.
That's generally what's happening over there. Lots of cool stuff is happening. There's some new hotels, expansions of existing hotels, but there's something that's pretty much been confirmed and kind of not, but then also confirmed by the big Bob Gurr, and that's the monorail.
Yeah, you know, Gurr, he's proud of these things, and if you've listened to him talk, there's a one thing that Gurr really loves about monorails, and that's the slant nose with a wraparound windshield. You know, I feel like he's got that tattooed somewhere on his body. And if you know anything about Bob Gurr, Mr. Gurr, he attends Burning Man out in the desert. You know about this celebration. If you don't, you know, get on the Googles and check it out. Bob Gurr is a Renaissance man of sorts, and he's the monorail man. Also, he's a monorail man, and so from what I understand, again, yeah, the confirmations are not like I haven't seen it in stone or anything like this, but you know, Siemens bailed out a while back from their sponsorship of Illuminations and Spaceship Earth. They thought for a while that Siemens might be involved in a monorail project. But it looks like Bombardier is going to be retrofitting. They're a company out of Canada. I think they actually started with making snowmobiles or something like that. But anyway, they build a lot bigger things now, in addition probably to snowmobiles. Maybe they're out of that whole thing. But they may be the ones that are going to be supplying this $250 million replacement of the current monorails.
That's a lot of money.
$250 million to just update some transportation. Now, I don't know if that includes all the logistics. I don't know if they're planning on putting in new tracks. I haven't got that far into it. I would assume that they would in certain areas. But yeah, $250 million for the cars. And so, you know, what were we on? We're on Mark Fives. Is that what the monorail system that we have there now?
Those oldies?
So those guys have been They've been there for a long time. 89, isn't it? Isn't that what the current fleet's from? Was produced, built? I'm sure they've had, lots of stuff done to them, but I think they're from 89. Correct me if
Wow.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, you're I can't I can't yeah I would assume that that's correct. That's because they didn't get the Disneyland update that Disneyland got, and they've just been kind of running those things into the ground. And I mean, they had those notable incidents recently with the doors were open during the actual like running of the attraction, and people are videotaping it. Everybody's got their phone out these days,
Yeah, of
and
course.
they're running down pretty low. Like they needed up to update those things like 10 years ago at this point.
Yeah, a long time ago. Obviously, there's a hurdle, and that's the cost.
Yeah, cost.
And who's going to do it? What company are they going to go with? There really aren't a ton of choices, though. I mean, there's only a few people that really do a nice job with this. And from what I understand, Bombardier has a there's a model. There's a model of these things. It's called the Anovia 300, I think. And it's the Wayne Gretzky of monorails. It's
Who?
just Wayne Gretzky. He was a hockey player. He was in the Mighty Ducks movie. He's got a couple of records here and there and some pretty good stats.
Yeah, I
You've
don't
seen
know.
pictures of him, or he's got a kind of a larger nose, handsome guy. Anyway, it's the Wayne Gretzky of monorails, for those of you guys who know who I'm talking about. It's just an unmatched workhorse. Like this is a, if they're going to put a monorail in there, I'm sorry, Bob. I'd love to sit down and talk with you about it, but I don't think there's going to be a slant nose, and I don't think there's going to be a wraparound windshield. This is a more boxy looking structure. But what you lose in that swoopy, kind of aerodynamic shape, I've read a little bit about this, and I wish I was more of an engineering kind of guy. Some of the stuff, it kind of went over the head. But basically, it's almost entirely automated. You don't need a driver. Chances are they'd have a driver in there for a lot of for liability purposes and things like this. But you really don't. They don't need to have a driver in them. They'll be way different from what you're looking at right now. They won't have. There's a couple things they won't have, but they will have like inter-car walkways, so you can go from car to car, kind of like you would on the BART train or the subway, New York City subway, BART in San Francisco. I think Dallas has DART in it, which I think functions much in the same way. So they have these open gangways, way higher rider capacity. I don't know too much more about it, but the only thing that I guess my biggest question is, and my concern would be if they were doing a focus group and they brought us in. I would just have to ask about the air conditioning.
I
Yeah, hey, the
think.
window cracks. Hey, that's wonderful, but it turns out it is like 99 degrees in here, and I'm feeling the heat coming off of my seat neighbor over here. I just I'd love to see him as cold as a friggin' ice box, because that's my problem. Monorail in Florida, monorail in California, it is always just it's a broiler in there. It is a, in the words of Lion King, it is a birdie broiler. It's so hot in there, always.
I think Disney World has air conditioning.
I hope so. I mean, I can't
I'm pretty
imagine.
sure they do, whereas Disneyland does not.
Yeah.
And it's quite warm in there. It's
Yeah.
bad. When I look at their website and their monorails, like it's like you go to their website, it's like, can I buy a monorail? I would say that if they're going to do a project with Disney, they're going to do a custom body, and Bob's going to get his swoop nose and wraparound windshield.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking that for the 250 mil, or maybe they'll step that up, just give a couple extra bucks so that Bob can have his way. I can't imagine that Bob would be involved and not get that angular design. That being said, I mean, I looked at the fleet and I looked at everything they've produced so far, and in their modern fleet of monorail type vehicles, even the gondola style, you don't see anything swoopy and slanty. So that would have to be
Where
a custom
the issue
deal.
is that I would say that they would try to have a custom body put on into it because the monorail is like a money generator in terms of merchandise
Oh, sure.
and having that particular shape. So I could just see that if they were smart to make sure that it did have a custom body to keep their merchandise sales, because the monorail is an iconic like shape and design.
Very, very good point. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, a boxy toy. I mean, I don't know, what is that? There's already stuff like that. So that's a good point.
Yeah.
But I guess my only question to you would be then, again, this shows how little I know, but once you, if you were to go back to that more, cylindrical style shape, are you losing out on that increased rider cap that the you know this this boxy one the Innovia 300 has?
Yeah, I don't
Because
know.
I picture that square profile, maybe that lends to why it's able to you know to hold more people.
It very well might be. I could just picture them putting somewhat of the same design into it that they had prior
Yeah,
to
even if it's
keep.
just the nose cone, you know, even if it's just the little the pilot quarters and the tail, maybe the front and the back are like that. And then maybe the middle can be a little bit more boxy, but you know, that wraparound windshield was like I said, it's I would not be surprised if that was tattooed somewhere on Mr. Gurr because man, he was into that and I don't think Disney would not involve him in this process. I simply can't imagine.
Yeah, that would be that would be
That'd be their
terrible if they
bad. That'd be
didn't.
their mistake. Yeah.
Yeah,
Boxing him out.
and
You can't box out a vet, you know, like he is just or box in a vet. He is yeah, I would
Bob
think
Gurr
he'd
is one
be
of my
one of the
favorite Imagineers.
main people they consult. He's got a lot of energy. Have you ever seen him jump up on the stage?
Yeah, he
Remember
reminds
that?
me of our grandpa. Like he reminds me a
Yeah.
lot of.
Enthusiastic, you know, excited to learn, like was not many of the things that he wasn't initially many, and I know we've talked about this. We're going to do a Gurr special. We're just going to, it'll be maybe it's a 3-4 part series, maybe a 7 part series. But he is a very neat guy. He's got a lot of enthusiasm. And when he started out over there, he started out doing, you know, a couple little things, and Walt just said, "Oh, Gurr, you're going to do this. You're going to do this, and you're going to like it." And he got, I mean, he self-taught so many things that people go to school for, you know, for many years. So, and some of it natural talent, but like, yeah, Gurr is just an amazing guy. Great Imagineer, tons of energy. He reminds me. Do you remember what's that Oprah? That it was an Oprah episode when Tom Cruise jumped up on that couch. Like Gurr coming up on the stage sometimes. He's got a whole little thing. He comes up and he like does this little wave. And obviously he enjoys the camera and the limelight. But he's a neat guy. Bob Gurr is he's a special cat.
Yeah, I like it. Like I said, he's one of my favorites. It reminds me of our grandpa, how just like good at everything, can pick up a
Yeah,
new
no kidding.
skill in a second. And yeah, Bob's a good guy. So Disney World, like for me, with that 250 million, I would hope that they would connect the other parks to the monorail. It's unlikely that that would happen because of the cost, but it would be nice to see Disney go more towards monorails and their new sky gondolas for transportation over the buses. Because to me, like the buses have always seemed kind of, I don't know, something that I would rather not like have to like wait, you know, a long time for the bus, then get on the bus, get off the bus. It always seemed
That's
like
a
such
bus. Who wants
a.
to ride on a bus? They're at Disney World. They don't want to ride. You don't want to ride a bus at Disney World,
When you go to
bro.
Disney World, you want to go on the monorail. Like, I
Yeah.
hope that like the Disney like understands like at least in the early like days, like you went to Disney World, you get to ride the monorail to the parks. Like that was like a big thing.
Yeah. That's an attraction. That's a huge attraction in itself. And a lot of times that's the thing that brings you into this whole new, you know, I don't want to say it, but like a whole new world, you know, like you just buses. Come on with a bus. Like you take that to your local polling place or the co-op, the grocery store. You know, you're not taking that into Disney World. I'm not riding a bus.
I've
Simply
always,
not going to do it.
yeah, I've always, like, we've never been to Animal Kingdom. That's the only way to get there. And, like, I would personally save much longer to be, like, on a monorail route or at least next to a hotel with a monorail just to have that experience of going to Disney World or I always call Disney World, like, the Magic Kingdom, but go to the Magic Kingdom or go to Epcot on
Sure.
it.
Yeah. Yep. You got to. Gots to.
Yep.
Gots to. Can't imagine.
So
Can't imagine those pulling
there
up on
we
a bus.
go.
Bus driver's in there. He has that little fan that's cooling him off. Like, I just don't. I can't. I don't want to do that. I
The
don't want to do
little
it. You know, the little fan. Sometimes it clips on something and it's sometimes
Yeah.
plastic. Sometimes it's metal. It's hard to, you know, it's just user preference. But
Oh, that's funny. I like that a lot. So that's Disney World. We got to go back to
yeah.
Disney World.
Let's get back there. We'll talk about some flights and figure out, you know, with the breathing and the air monitoring and carbon fiber jets, body jets and everything. We'll get there. We'll get there. We've got some planning to do on our end, but we'd love to do some vlogs and stuff. I'd love to do some on-site vlogs and things like that down there. That'd be pretty fun. There's a lot of people that vlog and podcast over Disney World. I think that is one thing that's kind of unique. If we ever at any point start taking more of an Anaheim, more of a Disneyland and California Adventure approach, is that it's not being covered to the extent that Disney World is. There's just
No,
so
that's
many
true.
APs over there and so many people that are there on the regular, and they notice a difference of drinking water from a water fountain one day to the next. And these are things that that we wouldn't do. And I think that'd be kind of fun, though, is that we'd be bringing a perspective of people that, you know, I'm not going to say I know Disney, but people that know a little bit, you know, little threads about Disney. And then they go to this place and they're just overwhelmed and excited and you know, just confused probably in some parts of it. But yeah, I think that'd be really fun. I think we could come up with some good stuff. Solid.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all the future that comes with this podcast and our new videos that we're going to start producing and all that wonderful stuff. But there we go, guys. Don't forget to leave us user questions. So we'd love to answer your questions in the next podcast down below. Remember to definitely subscribe here on YouTube and, of course, on iTunes or anywhere you watch your or listen to your podcast.
For more videos like this, people are always saying that. I'm losing my mind. People are always saying that. The one thing I will say, you know, I like to leave a little question at the end. Usually something about Scar here. For this episode, you've heard his opinions on Marvel. So you're clear. We're all clear on how he feels about Marvel. Now he'll probably try to backtrack. Oh, but I like this. But so you hear his opinion on Marvel. If Scar is a Marvel character. And I don't know if Jean-Luc Picard, I don't know if that guy's in a wheelchair or if he's, I don't know if that guy's a Marvel character or not. What is it, Dr. X or something? I don't know if he is in, I don't know if that's a Marvel guy. So take that guy out of it because I don't want that part of this. If he's a Marvel character, excluding Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart, what Marvel character is Scar? And in a brief description as to why you think he is that person. I'm really interested to know.
All right. You guys have your homework. We'll look forward to revealing some of these questions in the next episode of the Backlot Boys. And until next time, we'll see you later.